What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered episode number 611 here on Wednesday, July 1st. And
good happy to be back. Happy 250.
With, yeah, happy 250. Happy Independence Day. Good to be back here with you guys. Wanted to make sure to get an episode in with you to celebrate just how great our country is. First off, obviously, the pressing news of the day yesterday, as expected, right? This was not unexpected.
Yeah.
The birthright citizenship ruling finally came down from the Supreme Court. And also, as expected, was the vote, 6-3. Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch dissenting, the only patriots apparently on the Supreme Court.
A very weird ruling.
Yeah.
Because it was 5-4 on some stuff, technically 7-2 on other stuff. Like, there's no birthright citizenship for illegals.
It was like 100 and something pages, right?
I agree. It's 194 pages. Yeah. I know. Everyone was like, how'd they get that in the f***ing box? But yeah. Anyway, I think, was it Gorsuch or Kavanaugh who was like, there might not be birthright citizenship?
It was Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh for illegals.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's kind of the issue is loaded with nuance, but...
Well,
Mr. Sauer didn't do a good job defending the government's position.
Yeah.
Before oral arguments, we kind of knew this. All of the lower courts ruled against the Trump administration on this. It was kind of, this was as expected.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like I said, and you said, as expected, don't doom over this, because this is just one step in the long-term, hopefully, win that we have on this, where it's going to force Congress to act. And you're already seeing many people up on the Hill, senators, congressmen, talking about legislation to fix this.
Yeah.
And including Senator Bernie Moreno, great patriot that he is, is going to reintroduce Harry Reid's bill.
I have to say, he's basically taking Democrat plan off.
Well, because it was back in the 90s, Harry Reid had this bill that would, obviously, remember, Democrats used to not be anti-American pieces of shit.
Yeah.
That would fix this entire thing and solidify our immigration system.
And the late Senator Dianne Feinstein was also for... If you see old clips of her about this issue back in 93, you think she's a Nazi.
Well, Bill Clinton, too. Remember
Bill Clinton was, like, hardcore on this.
Yeah.
He wanted quotas and a fucking ID system and biometric data and all that stuff.
Yep. So yeah, don't get too down about it. Just wait. Trust the process.
Yes.
Wait to see. And there's also other things that Trump is going to do that I've heard.
Nothing is final.
Will solidify things, especially on visa front and the whole birth tourism issue. There's a lot of stuff that could still be done here. This is not the end by any means. And so, don't fret too much. But I will say, The ruling yesterday that honestly to me was more important as far as saving this country was the NRSC versus FEC case. And so that basically held that the political parties were having their speech infringed upon on the First Amendment by restricting how they could spend their money.
With their own candidates.
Correct. Yeah. And so basically, what that does is... First off, obviously, everyone by now is aware of the massive money advantage that we have going into this midterm election, which, as far as I could remember, is the first time in modern political history that we have that.
Yeah, I mean, combined, when you take out the debts and expenses and stuff, I think we have...
It's like $150 million
advantage. It's $150 million, and then the Democrats, it's $3 million in debt.
Yeah.
The gulf has never been that big.
Yeah.
So,
And so... That is a game changer for us as far as trying to win this election, keep the House and Senate, and continue to move our priorities forward. You know, everyone, of course, has many issues with the Senate, including me and the leader Thune and the job that he's doing. But we're going to get more conservative senators in. It's going to unlock a whole lot of possibilities as far as this campaign goes this year. And I'm very optimistic that we're not only going to keep the Senate, which is pretty much
we're going to keep the Senate.
A given... But keep the House as well.
Yeah, I think so.
I am willing to predict right now. I mean, obviously, a lot can happen between now and then. But as of now, if the election was held today, I do think that we would keep the
House. Lock in that poly market trade. Brought to you by Poly.
Not financial advice.
But it's like you said, nothing's final, right? That decision, the Supreme Court overturned their own ruling from 2001 about this. So, and that was kind of that one was kind of up in the air. I didn't know where that was going to go, but. It was interesting that basically when it was first brought before the appeals court, they literally said, you got some really good arguments here. Unfortunately, we're bounded by the 01 ruling. Therefore, we have to reject it. And then they're like, okay, fine. Well, let's take it to the Supreme Court. They decided to hear arguments about it. And boom.
Yep.
Now we got – they can spend whatever they want now. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's still, there's still some laws and stuff. But the other ruling that occurred on Monday was the mail-in ballot and that was disappointing. I mean, you know, Amy Coney Barrett has turned into such a disappointment on the court. And, you know, so obviously I'm sure you've all heard by now of the fake news that NPR peddled yesterday of, of Justice Alito retiring, which when that crossed the wires, my heart sank because obviously him and Thomas are the only two that we can actually trust on this court. Luckily, it turned out to be fake news, although I wouldn't be surprised if he does actually retire at some point here this year. But I do think that given recent rulings and also the state of play in the Senate, he realizes that this is not his time to go.
He's going to wait until after the elections.
Keep in mind, he is older, but he's not that old.
No.
He's like 74, I think.
No.
And so I think that he's going to wait until we have our new Senate with a more conservative build in the Senate. Obviously, we're going to get rid of those cucks, Tillis, Cornyn, Cassidy. Tillis probably won't be replaced with a Republican, but
Cassidy will.
Either way, even if it's 52-53, it's going to be a stronger 52 or 53 versus what we have now and will enable us to get through an actual conservative that we need. Right now, they would not get through someone that would be even close to adequate to replace the great Alito.
No.
And for as much as the Bushes take heat from the right, they are responsible, HW and W are responsible for the two best Supreme Court justices that we have.
Yeah.
Thomas in HW and Alito in W.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Oh, don't forget, wasn't Scalia too? Well, the late Scalia.
Was Scalia HW?
I think so.
Or was he Reagan?
Oh, he might have been Reagan.
He might have been Reagan.
The tail end of Reagan. Because, you know, 87, 88, it's like Reagan-Bush. Yeah. You know, it's whatever.
I do find it very interesting, and I always say this, and you've heard me say this many times.
The fact that he was confirmed 99-0?
Well, no. that two of the best Supreme Court justices in modern history, Scalia and Alito, both from my hometown in New Jersey.
That's right. Yeah.
New Jersey. I mean, Alito went to the same high school. I did the library there. It's named after him. I'm shocked that they haven't stripped that at this point because, you know, New Jersey. But, you know, that...
Well, the Italians would riot, so no.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I mean, that, you know, that's... It's important that Alito stays on the court, and I think he realizes that now. I do think he seriously contemplated retirement, but I think that if you would have asked him probably 6 months ago, he would have said yes.
Yeah. The rumor was after his book tour. He's on a book tour now. Yeah,
but things changed, I think, significantly recently.
He wants to see how the new Senate looks, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, no, I think that's smart.
Because everybody was like, you know, they don't, I mean... Nobody wants to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, obviously, right?
She
I still love how liberals are like, we love her, but that bitch stayed on too long.
And yeah.
You have ACB, which is like Ruth Light at this point.
At this point, but yeah, that NPR story, I mean, what a cluster.
Oh my God, you covered this. Yeah.
What?
The story changed again, by the way.
Well, I know. So when it first published, I thought, so a very common practice in reporting, and we do this all the time, is you pre-write stuff.
Yes.
Right? When you know stuff's going to happen, you pre-write stuff, whether it's election results.
Or the SCOTUS ruling.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
You get the base of it, the foundation of it.
And so I thought that they made a mistake and accidentally published a pre-write they had ready just in case he did retire.
Yeah.
But the story has changed now four times, and the original excuse wasn't even close to that. No. So why don't you run through what happened?
Okay, so the original it was that she misheard Chief Justice Roberts announcing retirements.
Mm-hmm.
She ran with it. She published it. Then the SCOTUS Public Information Office was like, yo, that's not happening. Take that down. She was like, that's what I – now – and then she goes on All Things Considered, says that exact same story. I misheard. I apologize. Yada, yada, yada. Now – that's not true. Now it's she wasn't even in the room when the announcements were heard. Were given by Roberts. So basically, they can't even get the correction correction right. So what is going on?
Well,
now, again, this is Nina Totenberg. She has been wrong many a time. I think Chuck Ross, who was with the Free Beacon, I believe,
right? Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, you know, she got fired in 72 because she plagiarized, and her explanation was, I was in a hurry. And I used poor judgment. I'm like, well, That seems kind of
Well, she should be fired now.
Well, she should.
And I could tell you that if someone on my staff did this, I'd fire them.
Yeah, you can't do
like, this is an embarrassment of significant proportions. You know, it's not a small story to f***
up on. PIO's right. She was there.
Yeah.
You can go to the PIO. Like, what? She then she's like, well, I noticed something was wrong when nobody was running with it. Yeah, because it was fake f***ing news.
So there's an interest. Well, one, first off, a tweet that I saw yesterday from Jarvis, which is a great account on X. If you don't follow, you should.
Yes, he is a good
account. He tweeted, it's nice to see that NPR is accidentally tweeting fake news now or publishing fake news now. Normally, they publish it on purpose.
Yeah.
but the conspiracy theory floating around now, and I do give a little bit of credence to this, especially given the way they're scrambling on all these ridiculous excuses, is it's quite possible that Alito leaked this to a select number of people to try inside the court to try to find the leak of Dobbs' decision last year. Because remember, we never actually found that leak.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I know.
We know it was no more than 30 people in the suspect pool.
Yeah.
And they can't figure it the f*** out.
But okay. I will tell you that if that is the case, it would have been one of the most elite things that I've ever seen done in my life. And that would be incredible. So
what's that, Dave Chappelle? Gotcha, bitch!
Yeah, yep. All right, what else do we got here? How about the socialist takeover of the Democrat Party, which is well underway at this point?
Last night, confirmed now, man.
Last night in Colorado, you covered this. Why don't you tell what happened?
Well, first, so her name is Malat Quiros, I believe. She was running against Diana, is it DeJet or DeJetty?
I forget.
Anyway, she has been in Congress for like 30 years, right? You'd think this is a shoo-in. Mm-hmm. And she lost. DeJet lost. This is the race that a lot of politicos and Colorado insiders were like, if Quiros wins, I think I'm pronouncing her name right.
Who cares? Terrorist.
Yeah. She's basically a Mondani would have loved her if she ran in New York. Let's put it this way. She blames the United States for 9/11. It's the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she wins and picks her off, the whole landscape of the state has changed.
Yeah.
There are
Well, that seat is basically off the map.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, now, you know, everyone was saying, well, Colorado isn't New York. The DSA is smaller here. I'm just like, that's not the point. When you get a dedicated group of people, as communists always have, the history of communist insurgencies is they're always small and people dismiss them until they finally take the f*** over. And this is what happened. Michael Bennett had a 30-point advantage for governor. He was running for governor. He lost handily against the Attorney General Phil Weiser, who attacked him as a DC insider. And you know, it's now apparently clear for the Hakeem Jeffries of the party that the structural advantages, the money, the big name endorsements, all this stuff, people are just so angry right now that they just want to blow up the whole thing. So there are some people in this Democratic Party are welcoming their own demise by saying we're a big tent, we can invite these people in. Like they're gonna eat you.
Oh, for sure.
This is not like, you know, oh buddy. No. These DSA folks want to assimilate the party, take over the party structures, the money, everything, and then
that's the whole point.
Bring about, you know, Mao's, you know, revolution here. So you all know this. I'm not saying anything new, but the Democrats are going to have a very bloody civil war, which could impact the future 26 and 28, to be honest with you.
Yep.
So while they're duking it out, you know, we're all united and stacking cash. So be happy about that. Mm-hmm. It's not our problem until it is our problem, all right? So let the Dems eat each other at this point. It makes our candidates more electable, more appealing. And it just shows you the Democrats thought, you know, because of Trump that they would have success. No. Your brand sucks, and because it sucks so bad, you have communists now taking it over. So, yeah.
Well, and here's the
not thing. Our problem. That's my take.
Something. On that. I mean, this is, I think, one of the next major frontier battles of politics here over essentially the next decade. Is they basically imported all these fucking voters who want to bring their whole country systems to our great country, and. Something that Trump tweeted the other day was, I've been waiting for the communists to make their play. Now is the time. And I was like, he's like, now's the time for the fight. And I was like, fuck yeah. Because that is going to be a defining moment in this generation's politics, is fighting that back and putting communism back into the ash heap of history, which we did once and we're going to do again.
Oh, yeah.
We did it back in the late 80s and early 90s, and we're going to do it again. And it only benefits us politically. Now, sure, they've had victories in many places, including the communist terrorist mayor of New York City. But as far as generally politically goes, you know, you're not going to see the further left that the Democrats lurch in this new communist regime that they have, the more that we're going to win. Americans, do, you know, besides the select crazy terrorist few and all these blue bastions of shithole, Americans don't want this.
No.
And so it only goes to help us and aid us in our fight here to save this country, I think, is my prediction on where this is going to go over the next couple of years.
It's ours. I agree. It's ours to lose.
Yeah.
You know? And that will be a case if we nominate somebody who's crazy or we have like seven people running in the same race that splits the, the non-communist vote, stuff like that. Like, for example, I truly believe Mondami could have been defeated if somebody had dropped out.
Yep.
But everybody, you know, as you know, folks, in politics, everyone has an ego. So they all think they can be the guy.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
You know.
I mean, Curtis Silva, dude, your activism back in the day, yes. You know, with the Guardian Angels, it was great. But my dude, you needed to drop out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You weren't going to win. No Republican's going to win unless Mike Bloomberg is allowed to run again.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And even he might have a problem now.
Well, you know, I think New York's going to be an interesting thing because the city is really, you know, struggling already. They're losing a huge part of their tax base. It's going to become insolvent, you know.
It's like we're back to the late 70s again.
The problem is all the Republicans are leaving.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think there would be a pendulum swing back.
Yeah.
So, and it sucks because, I mean, our biggest city is run by a communist terrorist. And it's like, it's a shame, but it is what happens. I mean, they did it to themselves. Although, did you see that Dave Portnoy might run for mayor?
Yeah.
Which is...
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I'm not sure if you have to be a resident of the city or not, but to do that, I'm pretty sure he'd have to be a New York resident. So, he'd have to switch back and then all those tax benefits from Florida. So, all right. Let's see what else we got here. Yesterday, there was a hearing in the House, and there was some really powerful testimony, especially from Jessica Gorman, whose daughter was murdered by an illegal immigrant. You know, also, Joe Abraham was there, who writes columns for us on Town Hall, the great patriot, father of Katie Abraham, was killed by an illegal alien driver. Regardless of whether or not, you know, we've had massive success on immigration policy, right? And that goes back also to the birthright citizenship ruling yesterday and the point that I was making in that, yes, this ruling sucks, but don't overlook the generational wins that we've had on immigration here in this second Trump term. The border is fully secure. There are no illegals crossing that border.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We were having millions of illegals invade our country. That's zero now, right? So shutting off the faucet, first step, we did that. Now, for the first time in over 50 years, we have negative net migration in this country, right? It was previously unfathomable that we would reach that point. Deportations just this week are about to cross all of 2025's number, right? So we're 6 months in. Mark Wayne Mullen is ratcheting deportations up. We are now almost to, I believe, if the current pace of the last week continues every day for a year, we would be deporting 1.5 million. Now, even he admits that's not enough, but it's a massive start. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're seeing policies implemented, like, you know, cracking down on businesses and banks doing business with these illegals, you know, revoking TPS, and we're winning in court on that. I mean, it's, you know, don't doom over just this one ruling. What we've accomplished here so far in just 18 months of the Trump administration, the second Trump administration, has been previously unfathomable. It's really unprecedented in modern times. Yeah. And that's only going to continue. You know, ICE is still continuing to staff up with more deportation officers, thanks to the reconciliation that we just passed a couple weeks ago. ICE and Border Patrol and all that
is
funded completely through the Trump administration.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that again. Yeah. It's something like $70 billion.
I know.
We have the tools we need, and, you know, I think that they really refined their deportation and ICE strategy to make it less of a PR stunt, which it was under Kristi Noem, versus now a real logistical operation.
It's a targeted thing. Yeah, it's good.
You know, I think Mark Wynn's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to see these numbers continue to increase, and things are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really great to see, especially the negative net migration. I mean, that's, you know, that does not get nearly enough play in the media for what that accomplishes for this country. I mean, you're seeing already housing prices coming down. I mean, it's all of this goes back to everything we've been saying for many years of inflation was driven in huge part by the 15 million illegals that flooded our country under Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right? More demand, higher cost. And so it's we're going in a great direction, and that's very encouraging to me. But a few, back to the hearing, a few clips from yesterday.
Ooh,
take a listen to Jessica Gorman talk about her daughter.
Pumping people up and making them feel good about themselves. I'm not racist. I'm not xenophobic. We've done everything right, my husband and I. We taught our daughter to be wonderful, beautiful person. Her love was extravagant. And now I'm going to have to spend my last waking moment. I'm going to have to spend fighting against these policies, fighting for people to say her name. So if you have the courage, please come talk to me. Come sit on that bench. I'll buy Congress a bench. Talk to each other. Talk to each other. We shouldn't be screaming across the room. I mean, we also shouldn't say but, because I have to just say, and I understand that you're here for a reason. I don't understand why it's only the Republican side that cares about our American children. And I know that you're a mother. I know that you're a father. I deeply value that. But basically what you just did, what you said was, I'm so sorry for your loss. I have a daughter too. I have a son. I feel your pain. You don't. You don't feel my pain. Because the next words out of your mouth were, but. There's no but when your child is in the coffin. There's no but. And I need you to understand that. And if you ever want to talk about it, I'm here. I'm going to buy you a bench. I can put that on the record. I'm going to buy Congress a bench. And they can come and sit and hold my hand and look me in the eye and explain to me why illegal immigrants are more important than my daughter. I really want to know, because I don't understand. Please, I welcome you. I will listen. I will listen. I care. I just need you to explain it to me, because I don't, and I fear I will never understand.
And I think this is the case that we need to continue to make. And because obviously you're never going to persuade Democrats. They hate America. They hate Americans. They hate white people. That's just a given, right? You're never going to persuade those people. But the independents, right? Independents soured strongly when the deportations were a big PR stunt. That has changed drastically now with Mark Wayne Mullen at the helm for the past 100 days of DHS. And continuing to make these cases of putting America and Americans first, and the harm that illegals have done to Americans in this country, the murders, the rapes, you know, all these innocent Americans that lost their lives, we need to continue to push that. And that's the winning argument there, and that's going to be the winning argument here, because, you know, immigration by polling numbers has become less of an issue. Remember, it was the number one issue.
Yes.
In the 2024 election,
N16.
Along with affordability and inflation and all that stuff.
It's out of control.
But we've done so well on it, it's become less of a potent issue in elections. But the way to make it a potent issue is continue to show
who we're getting the hell out of here.
Right, all the successes that we just mentioned, right, and highlighting all those criminals and the illegals, the rapists, the murderers that we're deporting, but the Americans that have been killed and raped and harmed by these illegals. And Mike Waller did a great job yesterday taking on Jamie Raskin for not giving a f- and not caring about Americans. Take a listen.
So while some of my colleagues may not want to hear the truth, the same outrage you feel about Renee Good and Alex Pretty,
Mr.
you
Chairman,
should feel about Sheridan Gorman and Lincoln Riley and every Angel family in this country.
I do feel that outrage.
You do not.
Do you,
because if you did,
you
would
feel,
not support sanctuary jurisdiction.
Do you feel the outrage about Alex Pretty and Renee Good?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You don't belong in this committee.
Jamie.
You should get the hell
You're
out of here. You don't understand the rules of the committee. You don't understand the Constitution.
You're a disgrace.
Mr. Raskin.
You're an absolute disgrace supporting sanctuary policies.
Say one word about
get rid of
say one word about Alex Freddy.
I did. I wrote a whole New York Times op-ed about it. You should be absolutely ashamed of yourself for not opposing sanctuary policies that resulted in their daughter's death.
The committee.
And that's what we need to be doing. That's how we need to take them on. And two Pramila Jayapal related quotes here, which, by the way, why is, you know, someone with that name even in Congress? But that's a whole issue for another day. Take a listen to this.
Unfortunately, this hearing is it's the fourth time in this committee that we've had a hearing on sanctuary cities. The fourth time. And there's many other things that we could be doing other than this.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's other things you'd rather be doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Go f*** yourself. Yeah. I watched her entire testimony yesterday, and it was heart-wrenching. And you know, God bless her for having the strength to go do that in front of Congress. I'm not sure I could say the same if I had lost a child like that. But it's something that's so important to get across is, one, it makes our case for us, but it also makes the Democrats do stupid anti-American shit, which they love, obviously. And so, you know, I think that that's going to be a huge key to this midterm election. Speaking of the midterm election,
yep,
we have now the first midterm convention announced in the history of the United States. The RNC will be having a midterm convention, you know, basically a mini RNC for the presidential year, but for the midterms. Be in Dallas, Texas, September 9th and 10th of this year. Perfect timing, right after Labor Day when people start kind of really paying attention to the election.
Yeah.
Rile up the base. Make the case of why we need to continue to be left in power here to keep, one, these crazy Democrats away because they just want to destroy the country. But to continue to show the wins that we've been having. I mean, you know, a lot of it gets lost in the news cycle, and we've talked about this a lot, that in any other administration where the news cycle is much slower, it's much quieter, these things that are happening every day would be massive news stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Usually there'd be one to two massive things occurring every day, huge wins for the American people. You know, we're at the point now where we're in 5-10 massive wins for the American people every single day. And so stuff that would get play before, you know, gets essentially a passing mention. And so that's, I think, a huge part of kind of the overall vibe here as well is, you know, highlighting the wins. Right. I mean, you could make a list of 1,000 things that have been done since the 18 months ago when President Trump took office. And so, or 17 months, I guess, about to be 18 on July 20th, you know, and so that's really the key is showing those wins. I mean, stuff that's been done in this administration is stuff that I thought that we would never, ever get done in our entire lives.
Yeah.
And so the one of the problems that we've had is that a lot of it's been done by executive order, and as we know, those can be overturned unless you're a Democrat.
Well, exactly. I'm saying DACA can't be overturned.
Yeah, unless you're a Democrat, then the courts will say, no, you can't do that.
No, can't.
Yeah, but for us, you know, we're so that, and that's why it's even more important to continue to keep Congress so that we can try to codify a lot of these things. You know, I think that the birthright citizenship case, which, you know, obviously was a disappointing result, now has really lit a huge fire under the Save America Act. Now, there's a couple of things with Save America. Obviously, everyone's very disappointed in how Thune has handled this entire thing. And, you know, he's been a vast disappointment as leader, honestly. And I don't think that he will be the leader of the Republicans. If we keep, regardless of whether we keep the majority or not, I don't think that he's going to be the Senate leader for the Republicans after the election.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I would be willing to predict that now. The Save America Act, there's a few things that we could do if he just had the courage to take the line for Trump, to fire the Senate parliamentarian, who should have been fired a long time ago, was f***ing appointed under the Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, and she's a former Harry Reid staffer.
But remember, we went through this issue with the One Big Beautiful Bill, and she stripped a bunch of stuff from that should have been in there.
Yeah, there weren't bird rule.
Yeah, the bird bath. Yeah, and bird so bath. She should have been fired after that. He didn't do it. He should have had the foresight to do that, right? And that's where it comes back to leadership. But if we could just get rid of her, then we could get the Save America Act into reconciliation and pass it with 50 plus 1. So That's the path, right? We're never going to get 60 votes on that. Just not going to happen. You may
unless,
get
you unless you nuke the filibuster, but that don't.
Well, that should also happen too. Also but we also too, currently we, don't have the votes to do
I
that.
I know, but so. You know it's coming. JD Vance had a great segment last night, being like, "Yo, the Democrats
yeah,
well, are going to
yeah,
do
on.
It."
I want to play that.
Oh,
clip.
Sorry,
yeah,
man,
wanna,
but you
no,
know what I mean.
100%. Yeah. Play that JD clip.
Save America Act legislation itself. The problem that they have, with all due respect, is that they're worshiping dying institutional norms when the Democrats are in fact bragging that as soon as they get control, they're going to throw that stuff aside and make it so much harder for Republicans to even win elections. So what some of these Republicans are saying is they don't want to give up on the norm of the filibuster, this sacred Senate institutional norm that a few senators are obsessed with, including, of course, Mitch McConnell. The problem, Laura, is that Democrats themselves are saying the minute that they get power, the filibuster is going out the door. So unilaterally submitting and surrendering as Republicans when Democrats are openly bragging that they're going to get rid of the filibuster, it's just handing your enemy a weapon that they're going to use to strike you down. It's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. But that's why we frankly have to get better senators in there in the future.
Yeah, you've been following what's going on with the Democrat Party and the rise of socialism.
And he's 100%
right. He's 100% right. Yeah, it's going. It's going. So
it's exactly what we've been saying for basically since the beginning of the Trump administration. Yeah. If they got power, they'd remove it tomorrow.
Yeah.
They tried to under Joe Biden. The only reason it didn't was because of Manchin and Sinema. And they're gone now. And the Senate Democrats have only gotten more radical. Chuck Schumer's done. He's toast. God.
Even the gays hate him.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny. That was a great headline.
I'm sorry. When you're at a New York City Pride parade and you get jeered and hissed like that,
uh-huh.
It might be time to consider updating the resume.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, that is like.
Well, I think he's done regardless whether or not AOC runs for that seat, and there's some debate whether she's going to run for that Senate
well,
seat.
Given that
Chuck
socialist
Schumer.
Earthquake, man, everybody is a target.
Yeah, but she might also run for president. So,
oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, if she ran for president, I think it'd be a net benefit for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, we'll worry about 2028 once we get through 2026 first,
problem.
Right? But, yeah, that's about it there. Shout out the new Air Force One in service today. President Trump taking its maiden voyage to North Dakota today for the opening of the Teddy Roosevelt Library.
Oh, it looks so
and
nice.
And he's going to be also on an America 250 train out there. It's going to be great, great America stuff going on there. And so I'm very, very excited for this weekend. Obviously, 250 is a huge deal. Not to Democrats, though. And real quickly, before I close the show here, I wanted to talk about the Democrats making Independence Day and the 250 celebration into a partisan thing.
Yeah.
It's honestly despicable. You don't have to support the current president to celebrate America, right? But it goes back to their very base instinct of hating America and wanting to destroy it. And it only goes to underline everything that we've been saying about the importance of why, you know, not everyone's thrilled with Congress. But it's certainly better than a Democrat Congress, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't want the Democrats to have the House because then they have subpoena power. They're going to haul every single cabinet member up there. Endless investigations, impeachments. Yeah. It will grind everything to a halt, right? And so while we may not be thrilled with the speed at which Congress works, which is very slow, it's any Republican Congress is better than a Democrat Congress.
Yes.
That's just what it comes down to, right? Politics is a zero-sum game. It's a black and white choice here. And so, but the fact that the Democrats have turned 250 into a political football is really disgusting.
As expected, though, but yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, and I was talking to a couple friends the other day who are not very political, and I'd say they're pretty moderate and maybe even lean a little bit left, but they're like, they can't believe how the Democrats are acting, and it only goes to help us, but they can't believe how the Democrats are acting around 250.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, people are like afraid to say Happy Independence Day or, you know, Happy 250 because they'd be considered MAGA. I'm like,
what? Pussies. What can't tell you?
No, I know. But it goes to the underlying cultural issue here.
Of hating America.
You don't have to support America or the government to say that America is great and we should celebrate the 250th anniversary of the greatest nation on earth.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bill Maher was saying that, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, and he's been really on that. He's like, just celebrate the damn holiday.
Did you see,
it doesn't have to be about him. And he's all, and he also was like, he's like, America's awesome, and he mentioned the World Cup visitors.
Yeah.
He's like, it's reminding us that this country's kind of great. So how about you celebrate
this? Well, yeah. You know? I mean, did you also see that he said he might vote for J.D. Vance?
Yes.
Or Marco Rubio?
Yes, because he cannot get on board with the socialist whack jobs
that
are taking over his party.
And I think there's going to be a lot of that. I think there's going to be a lot of that, too. So
I've been watching him since high school. And
for him
to say that on that show, I had to rewind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he did not just f-ing say that. Him or Rubio, he would vote for. So,
but yeah, so we obviously are greatly celebrating the 250th anniversary of the greatest nation on earth. The bravery and resiliency of our founding fathers. I mean, you know, people don't realize literally the British Armada was in New York Harbor.
Yep.
They were sailing up the river to come to Philadelphia, and they still on July 3rd, they approved it, and then the 4th was the official reading of the Declaration of Independence. They voted for independence knowing that they were essentially signing their death warrants.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully we can kind of re-harness some of that vision and bravery in this country.
You can't, because they took down all the statues of those people during the riots.
Well, yeah, but they're coming back. In D.C., at least, they're coming back. People continue to try to tear down America, but we're still here and we're going to be. And so, you know, take time. Obviously, all of you are great patriots and you're going to celebrate the f*** out of this weekend. But, you know, take time to remember those great men that started the country and all those that died defending the country so that we can, you know, spend this weekend drinking whiskey and beer and shooting off explosives and in the most American way.
Don't JPP yourselves, though.
Well, yeah. I saw a funny tweet the other day that was like, everywhere across this country, Americans are waking up knowing that this might be the last week with all of their fingers. But, you know, celebrate the fuck out of it and say it to people and push the patriotism. Fly your flags. Wear America stuff. You know, don't shy away from it, because that's the only way that we keep, you know, this great experiment that's turned into the greatest country in the world going. You know, something, I just rewatched John Adams over the weekend, which is, if you haven't seen it before, I'm assuming most of you have, but if you haven't seen that series before, it's a great thing to watch this July. Mm-hmm. Really underlines the immense struggle that we undertook to get this great country. And John Adams, obviously, a very underrated founding father, in my opinion. You know, at this point, unknown story, because they don't teach this kind of stuff anymore in our schools because it's all anti-American propaganda. But, you know, John Adams was obviously the second president, Thomas Jefferson the third. They started off as incredible friends, obviously founding fathers, you know, making this country what it is, declaring independence. Then they became bitter political rivals.
Yeah.
Didn't speak for the better part of a decade after John Adams left office because Thomas Jefferson beat him in the presidential election. Became bitter political rivals. Then eventually reconciled their friendship, wrote a near decade of letters to each other as they were nearing the end of their lives, and then both passed on July 4th, 1826, just hours apart from each other, the 50th anniversary of the founding of the country. And there's just something I feel like so American about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a story that, you know, really should bring to... Yeah.
And the fact that Adams was thinking about Jefferson when he died. Literally.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Jefferson passed away a few hours before him, and remember,
he didn't know yet he had
supposedly
died.
Supposedly, his last words were, "Thomas Jefferson survives,
lives on, or survives." Yeah, yeah, yep, that's
something,
yeah,
or
that's
lives,
correct,
or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yep.
And then he passed away.
Yep.
So,
yeah. So take time to appreciate this great country and all of our great freedoms that we have. The founding fathers would want you to get drunk. One thing I saw the other day was George Washington's farewell party bar tab. It was like 100 bottles of booze. Like, it would essentially be the equivalent of throwing like a $100,000 booze party today.
The parties at Mount Vernon, man. Barrels of whiskey consumed within like hours. Barrels.
Yep. So
enjoy, the water wasn't good.
Enjoy everything we have. Celebrate America 250. A happy Independence Day and 250 to you all. We obviously will be celebrating quite a bit here in D.C. this weekend. The largest fireworks show ever in human history is to be had out on the National Mall. 860,000 fireworks shot off from 10 locations, flyovers galore. They're going to fly over the new Air Force One. Something I'm very interested in seeing is there's rumors the new stealth bomber may make its first public appearance. And so that would be an awesome moment. You know, don't let the haters get you down. Celebrate our country. It is the greatest in the world. And we hope that you all have a great weekend. A happy Independence Day and 250 to you all. And we will see you back here for another episode of Triggered next week in the 251st year of America on Wednesday, July 8th.
See you then.